Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
There'd be some days I'd be like at lunch or something with all the girls, and I would look over and be like, oh my God, like that girl is so beautiful. Like, am I supposed to be here? You know?
Right.
So it's kind of crazy, but then you just realize like you're there for a reason and everybody is, and you just believe in yourself. Like, I can't change myself to be more like that other girl. And like, who knows? Maybe she's looking at me and saying the same thing. Like, you never know.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Pod. I'm Victoria Garrick, former D1 athlete and mental health and body image advocate. Every Wednesday, I'll be bringing you awesome guests, weekly inspiration, and the realest conversations around everything and anything. Now let's get real. Hello everybody, welcome back to Real Pod. I hope that your weeks have been going great. Thanks for clicking on this episode today, because we have such a special guest. Not only is she amazing and has she experienced so many once in a lifetime things that she's going to share with us today, but she's also one of my very best friends, and I am so grateful that she took the time to share her whole experience with us here on Real Pod. If you're not familiar with Cindy, she is an incredible volleyball player. She played at the Division I level at Duke and then transferred and played at USC. She also played on the Albanian national team, where her family is from, and she has a dual citizenship. But while that is amazing stuff, okay, and that's cool on its own, this past year, Cindy went out and competed in the Miss Albania 2019 pageant, where she won. And she has never competed in any pageants before, but in her first competition, she was crowned Miss Albania, which is a huge, huge honor. And that led her to compete in the International Miss Universe 2019 pageant, where she made the top 20. Unreal. So Cindy is here today to give us literally all of the juicy details. Like, how do you pick the dresses? How do you get there? How does it work? How do you learn to walk? How did you balance this with college athlete stuff and school and all the crazy stuff that goes into this? So she is here to give us every single detail. I can't wait for you guys to hear this. Let's dive right in, and please give it up for Miss Albania 2019, Cindy Marina. There we go. Hi, Cinder. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Looking cozy as always. Yes. Never crusty.
Oh, a little bit, but it's fine.
Happy to have you on the pod, dear friend of mine, successful woman, inspiring woman, lots to talk about.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here. I've been waiting patiently. I'm like, I can't wait to be on the pod.
I know. I'm so excited. I feel bad that this has taken so long, but I mean, we're busy girls.
I know.
We love that.
You've been traveling a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're hard to track down. When you accept the FaceTime, I'm like, yes, connecting.
I know. I'm like, oops.
But I just want to dive in. Obviously, Miss Universe is something that is incredible that you did, and a very rare experience. So let's just dive back to when this first even became an idea in your mind. And it was Miss Albania, which is the first step, right?
Yeah. So it was Miss Universe Albania.
I remember we were in the pool and you were like, my mom wants me to do this pageant.
Yeah. So I was in Albania the year before for the national team, and this man who now, you know, I know very well, but he at the time asked me to do an interview for his magazine to kind of like chronicle my life as an athlete from like the US and like being Albanian and coming back. Because
you're on the Albanian national team. Yes. Big deal.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so it was cool. He like reached out. So I was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then the day we had to do like the photo shoot for the magazine, they were doing stuff for Miss Universe Albania there. And I was like, oh, like, why are all these girls like here? What are they doing? So he actually turned out to be the director for Miss Universe Albania as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It just kind of like came together really randomly, but I don't know. It was like meant to be, I guess. But he was like, yeah, would you ever be interested in doing a pageant or like anything like
this? Which you've never done before.
Yeah, I've never done it. So I was like, oh, like, I don't know. It kind of sounds cool. Like, whatever. So he invited me to watch the show that year for Miss Albania 2018. So I went to watch it and I was like really impressed. Honestly, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, I've watched pageants before, but I never really followed them. So I thought it was cool. Like, the girls seemed really into it and like they were just enjoying themselves. So I think that's kind of like when the idea got like planted in my head. And then when I came home, I was back in California. My mom kind of like brought it up again. And she just was saying like, oh, this could be a great opportunity. Like, why don't you just go try it? And yeah, I kind of researched more about pageants and like what they're all about, because I wanted it to be something more meaningful.
There's definitely, I think, a stigma or a belief by people about what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's like, I mean, I don't want to say I had that kind of stigma around what I thought too, but I think to an extent people do. You think it's just pretty girls going on stage, like looking good, whatever, and then the prettiest one gets chosen. But it's really not like that. It's way more. And like, I think that's what kind of drew me to it and made me want to try it, because it is a great opportunity for women to, I mean, launch off into something bigger. A lot of the biggest stars these days, like Halle Berry and
part of Miss Universe. Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of people like
Olivia Culpo.
Yeah, Olivia Culpo. Just like a lot of really amazing women have done pageants and used it to further their careers and just gain a new experience. So I was like, okay, this could be really cool and something I'm interested in. And so I joined, and then I competed and won, which was really exciting.
That's quick and easy. That was it. I joined, I won.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was more to it. But
yeah, it was a lot. I remember you were posting, thing. You had all these Instagrams, all these outfits, all these makeup. What goes into that? Like, does someone give you an itinerary and you guys start doing like photo shoots together?
Yeah, so I mean, there was a lot. Like, we had events, we had like charity events we would take part of, but obviously, like when you're a miss, people expect you to be a little bit more dolled up, hair and makeup, all of that good stuff, which was kind of like fun for me because, I mean, I love like all that stuff.
It's a simulation of how Kylie Jenner lives her life.
Yeah.
You wake up and at 8 a.m. you're in a chair and someone's doing hair and makeup.
It literally was like that. And it was a lot of fun, but some days I'd be like, oh my God, like I cannot stand another like makeup brush hitting my face. But I mean, it's part of the process, and it's like, when you win the title, you only have it for a year, so you might as well enjoy every moment and make the most of it.
In signing up for Miss Albania, mm-hmm. can anyone just sign up and join that like squad of 15 girls you win, or is there some sort of process to get to be a competitor?
I think that they have like a screening process, because I think way more girls than just 15, well, we had 21 join. I don't really know the whole process, to be honest, but they do like interviews and stuff, and then
invite you to be a part of the girls who will compete.
Yeah.
Wow. But back to the makeup. Exhausting. I can't even put on like a little bit of concealer and mascara every day. That's too much for me.
Yeah. It was like, once you get used to it, you're like, okay, like doing makeup again today. But then when you fall out of that routine, like when I came back after Miss Universe, I kind of just didn't want to wear makeup for a while. Mm-hmm. And now like I go to class, I'm like, I can't do my makeup. Like, I don't want to do my hair. It's like going in a ponytail. But I don't know. It's fun. It's fun to get dolled up and like look cute and feel cute. But I think it's also nice to just realize like you don't have to look like that all the time.
Right. And that's one of the reasons I love that you were a part of that experience, because you, I know you are like a real girl and you don't need to wear makeup all the time. Thanks. And you are not fake and you're so genuine.
Yeah.
And it just proves that you don't have to be maybe the negative things that people think these pageant girls are to, you know, do well. So when you join, let's do Miss Albania, just to get a little basis. Mm-hmm. Is someone teaching you, this is how you walk, this is how you sit, this is how you're going to answer questions? Or
it's very minimal. Like, when I went there, I really thought there would be more, I guess, training per se, because I didn't really do any when I went. I was like, we'll just see how this goes. And like, I don't want to say like, oh, I knew how to walk, but like, you're walking, it's kind of natural.
But I feel like I would know. You know, when the girl's like, I do my model walk to get food from the refrigerator, like, and I'm working it.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely like, you like swing your hips a little more. Like, there's a little bit more than just a normal walk. But there wasn't that much like teaching going on when I was at Miss Albania, and definitely not Miss Universe. Like, when you go there, you need to come prepared. Like, if you're not prepared, you are behind.
Okay. Let's just jump to Miss Universe because I'm dying for it. Okay. So Miss Albania, you win it.
Yeah.
And you win as someone who's never competed in pageants before.
Yeah.
Amazing. Insane. You become the Miss of your country. That was that incredible for you?
Yeah. It was so exciting. Like, I think I kind of, I mean, I believed in myself and I was like, I can do this if I put my mind to it. But I never knew, like, you never know, you know, like there's so many other girls there.
Right.
So when I won, it was just like, so sorry. It was very emotional because I saw like all my family, like all of my Albanian national team teammates came to support me. And aww, it was just like, wow, like I really did that. Like that was really cool. And then it just started, like, I dove into this, like, really hectic world where I was going so fast.
That becomes your invitation to Miss Universe.
Yeah.
So all the misses from the countries around the world get to compete
in
this one Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, basically. So Miss Universe is definitely seen as one of the, like, biggest and best pageants. And, like, you know, the best of the best are going. So it's, like, you have to show up ready, you know, to do your best and represent your country, like, as well as you can. So that was kind of pressure for me because, like I said, I've never done pageants. Miss Universe Albania was my first. And I was like, okay, like I won that, but this is like the big leagues now. Like I need to get, you know, serious and really like take it serious because it is a big responsibility to represent your whole country. So I started, you know, training. I trained with two former Miss USAs. They run this program called Pageantology 101 and they're amazing. So they helped me with like interview, because people don't know, but when you go to Miss Universe, there's an interview portion, which is like the most important part, but nobody sees it because it happens before the pageant. And you go into a room and
but it counts for judging.
Yeah No, it's like the biggest point scoring part. And yeah, you get interviewed, but it's, you only get 8 minutes to like kind of show them who you are, what you're about. So you have to really kill your answers, and like there's a way to go about how you answer things to like get to the point.
Teach me.
So sorry. I'm, you know, have a little cough, but it's really hard. Honestly, I don't know how to like even explain it, because I had to do like multiple hours of training, but it just, you kind of get used to it. You have to just train like how to answer things eloquently and kind of get to the point, but say like the strongest points of yourself or whatever the question is pertaining to. So it's just, you kind of rewire your brain how to answer questions like very quickly to the point.
Do they also teach you how to like dodge answering something?
I don't want to say dodge, but
to work around.
Yeah. It. Like, I mean, people ask you a question and how you answer is up to you. Like what you want to tell people. That's like the biggest thing. It's like, what do you want to tell them about yourself? Because if they ask you, what's your biggest achievement? And you're like, oh, coming here. And like, you give no background. Like you can go onto a story about how you did this. And like, you just give the best points. Kind of.
So it's like, they're setting up an alley-oop and now what are you going to do?
Right. Exactly. Like, are you going to dunk it? Or are you going to, you know, I don't know what else you would do. But
spin and twist and then dunk it. But notoriously, there have been some people who've answered questions on stage that have gone so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So is that in the back of your mind at all? Like, I don't want to be that girl that goes viral for saying
something stupid. Absolutely. I was honestly, I feel like you shouldn't spend too much time thinking about that stuff, because I don't know, I feel like that's kind of how it happens the more you think about it. But I definitely was afraid of that, because that's like a big stage, there's millions of people watching, and the pressure is on when you go up there. It's like they ask you a question and you have to come up with something quickly. You don't have like all day to sit there and think. And I do understand how people get like, you know, tongue tied or caught up. And I feel so bad for the girls that did go viral for the bad answers, because when I was up there, like you do feel the pressure. But I think, yeah, when you prepare and train so well, like that's all you can do. It's just like volleyball. You train every day. So when you go perform, it's a muscle memory.
When you first got, where was that hotel everyone was staying at? Everyone from Miss Universe was at?
Yeah, it was this, in Atlanta. It was the Marriott.
Just this big hotel.
Yeah, it was huge.
And when you first start meeting all these girls, were they nice? Mm. Were they catty? I'm curious.
Yeah, no, of course. Honestly, going there, I was a little bit nervous because you don't know what to expect. There's 91 girls coming together, a lot of personalities.
And you hear horror stories. Like, yeah, I mean, trust people?
I've heard some stories, and it's like, you don't know, but of course you're going to find people you get along with. Maybe you won't get along so well with others. But when I went, I was really pleasantly surprised. Everybody that I met was so nice. And I think, like, for me, it kind of took some time to realize, okay, this is a competition, but at the end it's 90 girls, one is winning. So it's like, what are you going to do with this experience? Are you going to create connections and make friends? Or are you going to go and, like, be a bee, you know? So yeah, so it's like, I think you just have to make the most of it and what you want with your experience. And that's kind of what I think I did, and a lot of other girls did. So I got along with everyone. They were super cool. And we're all friends. We still text.
That's great.
One of them actually just sent us a message. We might be going on vacation together.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's summer. So fun. Which will be fun.
I feel like I would be trying to see who maybe the front runners were in the past. Yeah. You never know.
I know, it's true. Well, it's crazy because you think, like, oh, maybe this girl, like, you kind of see, like, who might be a bit stronger.
How do you tell that? Just the way they carry themselves in conversation, the way they light up a room.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, people say, like, there's a Miss Universe effect, like, you know, like, you can, if someone is Miss Universe, like, they have something about them that, like, maybe the other girls didn't have.
I just got chills.
I know, it's crazy. And it's like, I was thinking, I was like, do I have that? You know, it's like, is this a myth? Is this a real thing? But you kind of do see it in girls. You're like, wow, like, she has, like, the Miss Universe presence. Like, if I saw her in a room of thousands of people, she would stand out. So I think it just, that was a thing for me. Like, I would notice some girls, like, wow, like, they speak so well, or they're just like, their energy is so high, just stuff like that.
And in prepping for all of the various walks you were going to be doing and outfit choices, how long is that process? Let's go into the lime green dress that you wore.
Yeah.
Which to me, and I know you, I've never seen you wear lime green.
Like, I ever. Don't wear that color.
So when you came out in that, I thought, yes, work it, because you're gorgeous and you radiate. But I also was lime green.
Right. I know. I think that was a lot of people's reaction. That dress was very polarizing. I got a lot of nice comments, a lot of, what in the world were you thinking?
No, you killed it.
Yeah. But
clearly,
like,
it paid off.
I know it did. Well, I think my thing was, Albania has never been a strong pageant country, like, compared to the Philippines, or, I mean, Philippines is huge, but, like, just Thailand, like, all these other countries, pageants for them are everything. Like, the whole country rallies behind them, and Albania didn't really have that. And there's a lot of countries that are not as pageant based, so I knew I was going to be the first one out. I wanted to make an impact. I wanted to be remembered, because 90 girls are coming behind me, and it's like,
that's so true.
What are you gonna do? So I was actually torn. I really wanted to wear red, because, I mean, Albanian colors are red and black, but the girl that won the year before, she won in a red dress. And I was like, thinking, okay, if I wear red is a beautiful color. I just feel like a lot of girls might wear red, and say one of the bigger pageant countries wears red, and then I come out, it's like, are they going to remember Albania compared to a stronger country?
But that's the thing in these pageants. I feel like at an everyday party, mm-hmm. a normal person is, if I wear red, I'm going to be looked at. But in the pageant world, we'll get into this, everyone in the finals was wearing gold sparkles.
Yeah, it's either gold, like, gold is a big color, silver, and then red has become big too.
So how did you fall on, so you were deciding between red and something else?
Well, okay, actually, it's funny, like, the two colors that are the most common, I really wanted gold. I had this idea of just being like a gold
trophy
thing walking by, you know, just like gold flowing out of everywhere. And then that did not come to fruition, so I was kind of bummed, but red was my next, like, really big thing. And then when I saw the green fabric, the designer showed it to me, I was like, not really 100% like, oh my god, yes, but she was like, I'm really into this. And I actually asked a lot of people that I trust. I asked, like, maybe 10, maybe less people that, like, I knew would give me their honest opinion, and, like, that kind of know
in the pageant world.
The pageant world, and just, like, trusted people that mm-hmm. I know would give me, like,
the honest answer.
Yeah.
That the designer is not going to, because she wants what she wants.
Well, she was really cool about it. She was like, I really think this will be amazing. The color was really beautiful, and I really wanted a long train, and that, like, something that flows. So that just, like, was kind of fitting the criteria. And then we kind of draped, like, the fabric on my body just to see an idea. And I was like, wow, this is, like, really cool. And I feel like nobody else is going to be wearing a lime green dress.
No one did.
And yeah, no one did. So I was like, okay, let's do it. Let's just stand out. My director was kind of unhappy with me for a little.
Really?
Yeah, because, he was like, why do you want to be the one girl that takes the risk? Like, don't you think other girls would do that too if they thought they were going to stand out in a lime green dress? And I was like, shoot, you might be right. But I was like, you know what? I have to stick with what I think is right. And I had a lot of back and forth because I had a red dress as well. And it was like two nights before the finals. I was
What did the red dress look like? Same kind of vibe, draped?
Yeah, it was like one shoulder.
The bedazzled buckle.
Yeah, it was one shoulder. It kind of had like a rose thing on it on the side, but it was all red, like sequin. Because pageant dresses are really sequined and mine literally had like none. It was just fabric. So I think he was just like, why don't you do something that you know is going to be like right? Like, why do you want to do this other thing? And I was like, honestly, I don't know. But I could not doubt myself at this point. It was 2 days out. I had to just go with what I thought. And I think it was worth it.
I think it was so worth it. And yeah. It was done so well because it was an elegant look. Mm-hmm. And you had the little pop of bedazzle.
Right.
And it was draped. It would be one thing if it was like tight lime green. You were scandalous looking. Mm-hmm. And like, it was done so well, and I think to everyone it was like a pleasant, she killed that.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of comments like, we did not expect that from you. Like, people were thinking I was going to do something completely different, but they were really excited that I did because it was like, it was memorable. People still write me about it on Instagram. People still talk.
Have the dress?
Yeah, I do. Oh. It's at home.
Okay.
With my family, but yeah, I still have it.
Can I wear that on my birthday?
Of course. Yeah, I want to keep it just like, you know, if I have a daughter later on, hopefully. Aww, I'll be like, this was my Miss Universe dress. So yeah, it's exciting.
And then we get to the next day, was it? You guys all come out in shorter dresses.
Yeah. So
which all kind of look the same. Was there criteria for those?
Well, that was given by a sponsor. So that was Sherry Hill. And she gives
to everyone.
Yeah. So we actually got to keep those dresses too, which was cool. But you pick it. So they had like all these racks and we all got to pick what dress we wanted to wear. And then you keep it. But we wore those for like the opening statement, opening number kind of thing. And yeah, I think that was like pretty memorable. Everybody sees those dresses.
So memorable. And not to mention that is when you had to get asked a question by Steve Harvey on national live television in front of millions.
Yeah.
And once again, you slayed it.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, do you remember my Insta story?
It was my mouth. Max.
You killed that answer. And I had no idea what you would say to that.
I know.
Hard question.
You're an elite volleyball player for your national team. Now, what's more intense, the locker room before a game or backstage at Miss Universe?
This is such a tough question because they are so different and so intense in their own respective ways. But there's one thing that I know is a big difference between volleyball games and Miss Universe. And that's volleyball games, you have a lot of chances, a lot of games to win, but Miss Universe is once in a lifetime, so I'm ready to give it my all.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's and such I a was hard like, one. Whoa, I was glad that he asked me something volleyball related because I was excited to have that aspect of myself like as an athlete. But when he asked me that, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say to this? Like, so I think I came up with a pretty good answer. I said something. I mean, you could check my Instagram for the real answer. I don't remember.
I could insert it here.
Yeah, you could insert it. But it was something along the lines of like, they're both really intense in their own ways. But Miss Universe is different because it's once in a lifetime. Like volleyball games, you have like 10 games a year or something, whatever. And you could win some, lose some, but Miss Universe, like
10,
you have
like 30.
I know, whatever. But you have only one chance. Like you can never compete at Miss Universe again. And that was my one chance. So
is that true? Could you go through a Miss Universe a second time?
No. You can only go once. You can't go for a different country. You can't do any of that. You have one chance. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So
there's no two-peats, three-peats.
No.
Wow.
That'd be cool though. But I think, yeah, the reason they did that is because a lot of girls have dual citizenships, which I do too. And like after Miss Universe, people were like, you should go for Miss USA. I'm like, okay, that's just like a little ridiculous.
That'd be so funny. I'm back.
I know.
There would be girls who are probably getting like citizenships in every single country possible.
Yeah. So I think that's why they wanted to prevent that, which I think is cool. But I also like, it's just a lot of pressure. Like you have one chance, like make the most of it.
Was your heart pounding when you went out to answer
that question? Oh my God. Yes. Like my knees were shaking. Like, you know, I was like so nervous, but you have to play it cool, you know? So it was crazy. I think what kind of gave me like more strength too was I came out and saw my whole family and they were just so intense. Aww. They had flags, like they had pictures of my face, like giant cutouts. And they were just like so proud. So I was like, okay, like, you know, you gotta be strong.
You mentioned before that this was your first pageant ever and that Miss Universe is a huge jump from Miss Albania.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any thoughts of imposter syndrome? Do I know enough? Am I practiced enough?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I think everyone does at some point. And it's funny because the girl that actually won Miss Universe, her name is Zozy from South Africa.
What a queen.
She's amazing.
Once you were out, she was my top dog.
I love that. Yeah, she was really incredible. And she was so eloquent, so smart, so genuine, beautiful. All of the Miss Universe qualities. So I think she really deserved it. But she actually made an Instagram post like while we were there weeks in. And she was like, today I suffered from imposter syndrome. Like, because it's true. You look around and everyone is stunning. And I even like kind of had that. I mean, I didn't really realize it until I look back. But there would be some days I'd be like at lunch or something with all the girls. And I would look over and be like, oh my God, like that girl is so beautiful. Like, am I supposed to be here? You know?
Right.
So it's kind of crazy. But then you just realize like you're there for a reason and everybody is. And you just believe in yourself. Like, I can't change myself to be more like that other girl. And like, who knows? Maybe she's looking at me and saying the same thing. Like, you never know.
And that's something that people who aren't even in that pageant feel every day. Girls feel that every day, whether sitting at lunch in high school, they're on their volleyball team.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every volleyball team, there was always girls I thought were, you know, thinner than me or prettier than me.
Yeah.
And so the way that you handled that was reminding yourself that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, everyone's different, like, and unique. And you're there for a reason, whether it be on the team, you have the skill or... you're at Miss Universe. Yeah, like it just, it's all about just coming back to like your purpose and why you're there. And you can't like compare yourself to other people because then you'll never be happy with yourself, you know? So
exactly.
To look at the best in yourself.
And you went on pretty iconically for Albania, correct?
Yeah.
In the pageant to make the top 25.
20.
Oh, 20.
Yeah.
To make the top 20.
Yes. And I actually finished 11th, my director told me after, so that was exciting.
Wow. Is there like a separate way they
yeah,
rank?
I think they tell them after. I don't know. I think there's like a score sheet that they show them. I really don't know. But he just told me that, so I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. But it was really cool. Honestly, I of course, everybody wants to go further, but sometimes it's just not your destiny. So I was really happy with how I did.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I hopefully made people proud in Albania. We hadn't placed in so many years, so just like being in the top 20 was a big deal. And it was really exciting, like, to have that moment on stage and like, you know, just show like Albania, like, it's not a big country. And I think it was really special.
I felt so bad for the girls that literally right after the first 5 minutes of the pageant, it's just over.
I know it's sad. Well, some people don't realize is there's a preliminary show two nights before where every girl goes out and walks and competes in swimsuit and evening gown. And then based on that show and the scoring, that's on the final night is what people see mostly on TV, is when they announce the top 20 from the two nights before. So I think it's sad, of course, because everybody wants to have that moment. Like, it's Miss Universe,
to walk,
you know?
Again.
Yeah. But I think it's nice that we all obviously get the chance to do it in front of like, there's a lot of fans at
That's
the other
so
show
true.
As well. So it's kind of bittersweet, but it was still really awesome.
Wow. What a whirlwind. When it all was over, were you just proud looking back?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember texting you too. And I was like, I don't know if she's going to be in a bad mood.
I know.
Because you go into it and you do want to win and you believe you can win.
Right.
You know, but you were very, I'm so happy with the experience. I'm so grateful.
Of course. It's like, I can't just sit there and be sad all day because I didn't win, you know, like there's only one winner. And I think for me, I was just really thankful that I was there. I think it was such an awesome experience. I met a lot of amazing people. I wish it was longer, honestly, that I could have like spent time because you only do it once, like I said. So I was just really grateful. Like, I was looking back on my whole preparations, the months leading up to it, and it was like it all came to fruition in this moment, all that hard work. So it's like, what else can you be except happy that you were there?
What were the biggest parallels that you were able to draw from just being an athlete? Because that's a different way of competing and a different sort of grind that you've endured your whole life to sort of prepare you for the mental game, the competition of that, which a lot of the girls there didn't have that experience.
Yeah, I definitely was like, hopefully, you know, all my years of volleyball come in handy right now. But I think it's very different competition wise because one's like a very physical competition, you know, volleyball, skill work. And then this is more like, I don't even know, honestly, how to compare them.
Right.
It's just really different. But I think
it's
just
someone's
having,
judgment of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Not what your
yeah,
output
it's not
is.
Your output. Exactly. So it's different. But it's also like you have that background of being a competitor and being an athlete. And I think that is helpful because it's like you're going day by day and it's like this is a competition, like you want to do your best at all times. And sometimes like, oh my gosh, when I tell you the balls on my feet and my toes, I literally lost feeling in like three toes. And oh, that gosh. Is not a joke, because you're wearing heels for like hours on end every day. And there would be days that I'm like, okay, like I just want to like go down in sneakers and sweat. But you can't, because you're like, okay, this is like competitor mode. Like you just push through like the hardships, I guess. So that funny. Was one of them. Yeah. So
that's like going through a fifth set and you're right? tired.
You're like, we got to do this. So yeah, I think that was just a big thing for me, is like, you kind of just remember it's a competition. Like you have to stay kind of competitive. I don't know how else to compare it, but I think, yeah, like being an athlete is helpful in any aspect of life. And I think it helped me in this because I was able to like learn fast and like, you know, just do right. all the stuff that athletes do on a day-to-day basis.
The other big difference as well is, you know, as athletes, and we're on the same volleyball team together, like we sweat together, yeah. we get grimy, we get cuts, we get bruised, mm-hmm. we grow our leg hair out. Like it's like, you know, we are grind. We're there yeah. for a purpose, not right. to like look a certain way. So then you're in this whole different world where, you know, you have to look quote unquote presentable. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool that you're able to be a part of and excel in mm-hmm. both worlds and not just have it be, oh, if you're an athlete, you can't, you know, be a pageant winner as well. Or right. if you're a pageant winner, you can't get down and dirty and compete.
Right.
How did you see yourself in both of those roles?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, they're very different, but I think it is nice to see like someone that was an athlete come and do something completely different this world. And there is actually a lot more athletes than I thought compete in pageants, which is really exciting to see. But there was a lot of accomplished women there that are in STEM, like that are
so even the Miss USA, mm-hmm. she's a lawyer.
Yeah, she was a lawyer. Yeah, exactly.
It really is these high achieving, mm-hmm. highly competitive women.
Yeah.
It's not easy to just yeah. be in that pageant.
It's really not. And I think that's something that like has inspired me to like let other people know, because I think people do have this stigma around pageants that you just are pretty and you're there for 10 minutes and someone wins. Like, no, there's months of preparation. And I mean, it was a lot more than even I was expecting. But I think one of the biggest things, like I said, was just all the amazing women you're surrounded by. And like, you can see that they're all so multifaceted. It's not just a pretty girl from this country and from that country. Like they're doing things with purpose to either, you know, further their own careers or just make an impact in
their
country.
They're smart. Like yeah. they know how to get there. They know how to win.
Right.
It's hard to do.
Yeah. So I don't know if that answered the question.
No, it definitely did for sure. I think it's just cool in general to be able to function in both ways. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just want to talk about volleyball. So you played on the Albanian national team, which mm-hmm. is even like dual threat. I mean, mm-hmm. Miss Albania, and you play on a national team for them, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then you spent your first year at Duke. So you ended up transferring, which mm-hmm. I'm so happy about, because that's how we met.
Yeah.
But I want to talk a little bit about that. So why was it that you wanted to transfer?
Honestly, it was such a hard decision for me, because I love Duke. Like I still love Duke. I like wear Duke stuff all the time and people are like, okay, girl, like you've transferred four years ago.
You wore a Duke crew neck to the first USC practice you came to.
Oh, fully.
I remember looking at you and thinking like, why are you wearing a Duke yeah. crew neck in our gym right now?
I'm a little crazy. No, but yeah, I don't know. I just like, I'm like, whatever. I don't care. I love that place.
That's
but
great.
Yeah. I made so many amazing friends there. Like I had a great year. So I was like, I'm not going to just like throw that away.
And I love that. I think that's yeah. important. I think when people transfer from schools, mm-hmm. they think they have to like hate that school and wipe it clean. And it's great that you are like, I love this place, but I wanted something else.
Yeah. I mean, that's life. Like you're not going to stay in the same place forever. Anyway, that's a side note. But so for me, it was a hard decision because I was at Duke. I was the starting setter and like, I knew I would play for four years.
You were killing it.
And I was like, yeah, I was doing well. Loved my friends. Like, honestly, I'm like, people are like, why did you transfer?
You're like, I don't know. But,
no, but I don't know. Like, I've always been one to like want to push myself to do something bigger. And growing up, I played volleyball since I was 11. I'm 21 now. And I always wanted to like win a national championship. I'm like, I want to go to college, get a scholarship and win a national. I mean, who doesn't? Like, right. That's the dream, you know?
The dream.
But I don't know. At Duke, like I was really happy, but I was just like, I don't know, like, is this going to be enough for me? And also so far from home and I'm really close with my family and right. especially my little brother. And like, he was going to grow up like while I was gone. I don't know. That was like a hard thing for me to come to terms with. So then USC kind of came up, that they needed a setter, and I definitely didn't want to transfer somewhere that the academic level like wasn't equal, because Duke is such a great school. Mm-hmm. So when USC came up, I was like, wow, like this is kind of like the perfect situation.
Yeah.
And so I decided to do it. It was a really hard decision, but I did it.
And I totally understand how you're saying like wanting something more. And mm-hmm. it's not that you're ungrateful. I think the truth is like I would not have wanted to play college volleyball
yeah.
if my school wasn't in contention for national championship.
Yeah.
Like to me, that was worth it mm-hmm. for the hours of practice, the, you know, exhaustion, the yeah. dedication, the time commitment, the sacrifice of friends and all that stuff. Like, because I could possibly win this thing.
Yeah.
And like, obviously some people it's not, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I think for you too, like you recognize that as something that you want to be
yeah.
possible. And
yeah.
So, and I was so happy because, you know, we became teammates, we became friends. Yeah. And I remember that the first trip you sort of came on was our Europe trip.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was so nervous.
Yeah. I was like so pumped you were joining the team because I'm super girly and yeah. like, I'm me. And I always just felt like the team was a little bit less girly than me, a yeah. little bit less about sparkles. And like, I that was fine. But so when you came, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to like have that person now.
I know. Oh my gosh. You were actually one of my first friends and yeah. I'll never forget. So we were in Vienna
yeah.
and me and Victoria were shopping. This sounds like such just a fun story.
Over shopping. Yeah. We're in Vienna yeah. shopping you after know. We played a pro match.
Yeah. Normal. And then we went to this like jewelry store and we found these really cute necklaces. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I think we were both like, let's yeah. get like these matching friendship ones. Necklaces.
Yeah.
And we like just met each other.
Meanwhile, so I barely know Cindy, but we're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. Yeah. And so the guy goes to like check us out. And I think he's like, I don't know. He's like, okay, I can give you this for 50. And yeah. Cindy's like, how about 40? And I like look at her and I'm like, ooh, I'm like, I could like you.
Yeah. So then anyway, we got them for cheaper. That was yeah. cool.
That was so funny. And yeah. like she said it was such a poker face. And she was like holding the necklace in her hand, like I can do 40. I was like, oh my gosh, I love this, like magic woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was so funny. And yeah, and so it was love ever since. We lived happily ever after.
Basically. But we're married now. Sorry, Max.
Yeah. But not so much. We ended up having a coaching switch yeah. and it was really difficult and there were a lot of changes in our program. And I think that was probably not all what you expected. I mean, you left your university with this expectation of this coach, this setup, mm-hmm. and that changes. And I think that was hard for everyone.
Like yeah.
no one expects to not be coached by the coach that recruits you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is like honestly the cold hard truth. And that's something obviously a lot of athletes go through, but I had to learn the hard way because you never think like the worst is going to happen. You always think like, oh, like I'm going to go here. We're going to do this.
Right.
And then the next year the coach is gone. I'm like, oh my God, like that was the coach that wanted me and like brought me here. Like, who's going to come? Like, you never know. It's right. just so many variables.
Yeah. And I felt like, especially as a transfer, I mean, you have this confidence of, mm-hmm. like, when you're transferring, I mean, everyone knows, like, you are going to transfer once. Like, yeah. transferring three times usually never happens.
No.
So when you make that decision, you're like, I've looked at the team. I've looked at the culture. I've looked at the school. I've looked yeah. at the coach. Like, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a coach leaves, it is a clean slate.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt that way too. I was going to be a senior and I was like, we have a new coach who does not care about me.
Literally.
He doesn't care that I'm a senior. He doesn't care that I started. Like, he does not care.
Yeah.
He's going to get his new stat sheet and he's going to start from zero.
Right.
And like, that was terrible.
Yeah.
I remember during
basically.
I remember during double days, like, I literally was convincing myself, like, it was brutal.
But oh, yeah. During double days, that was
we were both, like, going mad inside, yeah. but, like, trying to, like, stay calm on the surface.
Well, it's you're literally starting from zero. Like, you don't know what anyone's yeah. thinking. And, of course, like, they're not going to, like, be like, oh, yeah, I like this person better than you, like, the first week they're there.
Right.
So you're just like, what's going on? Like, you don't know what they're thinking.
Right. But I think it made both of us really strong. And mm-hmm. that was something, like, I super admired in you. And I think it really brings out someone's true characters, like, how they handle adversity and how they handle the unexpected. And, I mean, you were able to lead as an upperclassman mm-hmm. and handle that situation in a way that I don't think a lot of people would. I mean, like, we've seen people in similar situations, like, really not their true colors come out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it was definitely hard. Like, oh my gosh, like I went through one of the hardest years, like after Mick left our coach and we got a new coach, it was just like everything was new. So I went to Duke and I had like my technique, my coach, culture, whatever. Oh, yes, I come here, coach changes my whole technique. Like, okay, that's fine. Like, we're going to do it your way because that's how you want
to
do it.
You worked so hard that first season. Yes. I need to get, it was hard. You were such like a spinner ballerina setter, and Nick was like, plant your feet.
Yeah, he didn't want me to jump. Like, it was a completely different technique. And I was like, all right, like, we're just going to do it. Like, you just suck it up and do it. So
and you did it.
Yeah.
And you did amazing.
Oh, okay. Well, I did it.
And we went to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, we went to the Elite Eight, 1 point away from the Final Four. Yeah. It was important. So anyway, then the next year, a new coach comes, changes the whole technique again. So I'm like, okay, literally my technique is out the window. Like, I don't even know, you know, like, you're not the same player that you were when you had your own technique. You've literally gone through three different changes. So that was hard. And then it's like, okay, now you have to deal with playing time. You have to deal with new people coming. And it's like, what? How are
switching
you going to respond?
Switching from a 6-2 to a 5-1. Like, yeah. Decisions you don't have control over.
Exactly. So I don't know. For me, it was just always about like staying as positive as I could, because you cannot be positive every day. Like, that's just the truth,
really,
sadly.
Did.
I mean, yeah, just because I want to like, I don't know. I don't really want to let other people affect like who I am and like how I'm going to react. And of course, to an extent they do, but then it's just like, how are you going to react if he's treating me this way or if she's treating me this way? Like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to just like go cry in the corner. Like, I'm going to like look for a solution, you know, like that's all you, that's life,
right?
Not just sports. Like, you're not going to just sit down and die. So,
right. And like, and know? It really, and I love that you said like, it was a hard year for you, because it mm-hmm. was, and as one of your best friends, like, it was not, it's not fun to watch someone you love, like, not be happy or not have what they want. And, but seriously, like, the way you handled it, like, you showed up every day, you gave your all, you were a great teammate, you were supportive, you never made drama, you never brought up anything about yourself, like, you were always, I think, an A.
Oh, thanks.
And I think, like, people listening out there might be in similar situations where, like, whether they're deserving mm-hmm. or they can't control the situation or not, and it just sucks to handle it.
Yeah.
So what would your, like, words of wisdom be for someone who maybe is feeling something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, like you said, it's like, to a point, there's nothing you can do. Like, you've done everything you can do and it's out of your control. Like, you can't make someone make a decision. So at that point, it's like, how are you going to react? You have to find new things. Like, for me, it's like, okay, I want to do this better, so I'm just going to focus on this. And if that's the outcome that's going to come later, that's great. But I think like the best advice is, yeah, just that, like, stay positive and find what makes you happy in the process, and kind of like, I don't know, compartmentalize, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Like, your goals into something new. Like, you can find new ways to be happy in the same situation. And if you can't, then like, I think maybe you should look for something else. That's why people transfer. But for me, that wasn't an option anymore.
Right.
So I really wanted to just fight like every day and try to get, you know, happiness back into the thing that I love, which was volleyball. And it was hard, but I think every day, like, what made it good was my teammates. And that's why I wanted to come and be supportive of them every day, mm-hmm. so they would be supportive of me. Like, if I'm going to go cry in the corner, like, no one really wants to deal with that, you know?
Right.
So it's like, why should I not make other people better and make myself better at the end?
Right.
Yeah.
And I love bringing up this idea of teammates, because, I mean, you're someone who I always think of as an amazing teammate. What do you look for in a friend or a teammate that mm-hmm. are qualities that you value?
Well, for a friend, for sure, is like trustworthy, reliable, and just someone that's genuine. That's such a big thing for me. I really don't like when people like pretend to be nice and then are talking bad about me behind my back. Like, I'm pretty real. Like, if you don't like me, then just tell me to my face. Like, we can be cordial, but like, that's it, you know? And I don't think a lot of people are like that. So I have problems with that. But anyway, that's a side note.
Yeah, same.
But yeah. And then teammates is just like someone that is going to show up and be reliable. Like, if you're going to have a horrible week, everyone has it, but you can't come in and drag everybody else down. And that's like kind of what I would try to like be as a teammate, because I would be going through stuff. Like, I was really emotional and a lot of people didn't even know it half the time, because I didn't want to show people that. Like, I don't want to people to see me and be like, oh, she's a victim or something, because I'm not. Like, that's just a situation I'm in at the moment, and I'm gonna try to make the best of it. So I don't know, I think just being genuine and like being supportive of each other is a big thing for me.
And I've seen you be that way, just as your friend and teammate. I've seen you be that way in volleyball, mm-hmm. like under high pressure situations, under position battles, under stressful moments. I've never seen you visibly stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, have you seen me visibly stressed? Like, I've gotten, you know, comments or teammates of like, you're too anxious, that now we're anxious from your anxiety, whatever.
Right.
But you've always been good at
I think no matter what you're going through, I feel like you have this other part of you, like this voice that is like very self-aware of a situation.
Yeah.
Have you always had that?
Honestly, yes. And I think I noticed it first when I was a young athlete and people like my coach, one of my favorite coaches, Dana Burkholder, shout out to you if you're listening. She actually mentioned it to me. And like, that's when I became self-aware of it. Like, I didn't really realize it, but she was like, wow, Cindy, you handle pressure better than any, I think I was like 13 year old I've ever seen. Like when we were in a game and it was really tight, like I was never freaking out. Like, I feel like that kind of carried on, I've noticed throughout myself in volleyball, like when it gets tight or when the pressure is high, like I'm able to like have a clarity and just perform, you know, because if you freak out, then like you're going to interrupt your skills. So I don't know, I guess, I don't know if that's like natural or something, but I have had that, I've noticed. So
you never jump to like Z, which is the worst case scenario.
Yeah, no.
You're even, and I've seen even in situations where like one could be like, oh my God, this is going to be, you just don't go there. You're like, well, we're good. Like, I'm fine. Like, we'll figure it out tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm always like that. I've definitely had moments where I'm like, you know, stressed or
things are hard.
Things do get hard, but it's like, I don't know if this is good, but I just deal with it by myself. Like, I kind of just reassure myself. And yeah, I've just gone through, I don't know. It's like, I guess I'm lucky that it's like that. Maybe it would be better if I was a little bit more stressed sometimes because I'd get more things done, but, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I've just been like that.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank
this
you.
This was perfect.
I love hanging with you.
I know. I love you girl too. Chats. Okay. Appreciate it. And I love you.
I just love Cinder. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. It was so fun for me to listen back. I felt like we were just hanging out because now that we're in quarantine, I miss my friends. But if you loved this episode and you love Cindy, make sure you check out her Instagram and follow her. Her username is at Cindy Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A-A. So she has a double A at the end, at Cindy Marina with a double A. And thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. I would appreciate that. And I will see you guys back here next Wednesday.